Les colloques du Collège de France.
Before I start, I also want to thank the organizers and especially Dominique and Nelly for inviting me to give a lecture at this conference. It started off new things, especially I started to look at my old Babylonian texts on boat and boat owners from a different point of view. If you are neither a specialist in archival studies nor a specialist in the old Babylonian period, you encounter certain difficulties in affiliating unattached tablets you find in museums, tablets that were bought on the antiquities market and come from illegal digs to archives or at least a city or a region. I would like to show you, therefore, what features or elements may help to place such stray tablets geographically in Babylonia, in the old Babylonian period, and I want to show this from my corpus of texts on boats, boat owners, and boatmen. Some of the following might be an old hat, some things are definitely new. I will have a look at three major tools today, the first one, of course, being prosopography. The second one will be clauses and phrases in boat rental contracts, and I will finish my talk by touching on autography, namely the autography Lach in Malach. When we sat last December in that cafe and you invited me to give a talk, I had just affiliated an earlier futile attempt. Years before, I had affiliated YBC 12159 in the Yale Babylonian collection with an archive. The text has no header, comprises of a list of 23 entries of 24 boats, and gives their carrying capacity and names their owners. It ends with five notes. I have a copy, all two, maybe that is nicer to read. It ends with five notes, one saying that a 100 kuru boat went on the Haran Sharim and perished in Tut. Deducing from this large fleet of boats, the text belongs to an institutional household and is obviously administrative in nature. It is exciting. It is exciting for several reasons. First, as far as I know, it is today the only old Babylonian list of this nature and this size having come down to us. Secondly, the carrying capacity of the boats in this list ranges from 60 to 100 kuru, and this is not what I had believed to be the average size of boats in that period or even the Neo-Babylonian period, the later one. In consequence, this list turned my statistics of boat sizes from the old Babylonian period topsy-turvy. In my PhD thesis, which is a long time ago, in 2002, where I collected this data, the boat size most often attested was the 50, the 10, and the 20 kuru boat, with 13, 14, and 10 attestations, respectively. I had only five attestations for a 60 kuru boat, and my list had only one entry for a 100 kuru boat. This singular text now added 900 kuru boats and further 10 boats having a carrying capacity from 60 to 90 kuru. That is my revised list. In the first column, the numbers in fat black letters are the actual carrying capacities named in boats. The others are volumes of bulk transports that we know were loaded on one boat only. Thirdly, leaving aside the Princess Elmischum from Sipa, this list brings to the stage the first ordinary woman, so to speak, owning a boat. Her name is Shad Ilia, and her boat is listed in line 19. I marked her yellow, and she owns an 80 kuru boat. I couldn't find her elsewhere in this archive. As I said, years ago, I have it for some years. My first attempt was unsuccessful to identify it. So last year I made a second attempt. And so where was I to start? To find an archive, where was I to search? Databases like Archipub nowadays are a big help for archival studies, especially as they give more information than the normal indices of text editions. I pretty soon found two of my names in Archipub, which placed them with the Palamonamche archives. I was intrigued and took up Christian Dickhoff's thin but genial thesis, and I was spot on. Dickhoff wrote his thesis on what he called the Book of Housekeeping. So in German, it was the Haushaltsbuch des Palamonamche. He affiliated texts belonging to that archive via various groups of people that repeatedly turned up in certain groups of texts. One of these groups he dubbed Circle of Witnesses. These people regularly acted as witnesses in the archive's legal texts. Another group consisted of persons that have giri function, they supervise bulk transports of barley. Yes, so I was spot on. Several of my personal names turned up alone or in groups among Dickhoff's circle of witnesses. Furthermore, and importantly, in these legal texts, they were most often defined by their occupation, boatmen. This fact corroborated their identification with the names in my list of boat owners. By this way of association, more names could be identified, some being Malachus, they are marked in blue, some being Tamkaros or Wackeltamkaros, marked green, and there are other names that turn up repeatedly in this circle of witnesses, but I cannot be sure because they have, because I have no profession or something, sometimes like that. So I have listed those here and with the date they occur. I only want to name two. One is Abu Bakr. I think he's the merchant known by that name, the son of Edin Era from Lhasa. He turns up several times in the Palamonamche archive. He and his house receiving oil from Palamonamche. He is listed as witness twice in the archive, and also once he turns up in an account text for gold, where this expenditure is balanced against his account. The second name that it is intriguing is the one of Sin Bel Ili. I like to think that he is the father of Nurum Litzi, Palamonamche's son-in-law. With all these persons identified, the question arises if it is possible to give this text a date because it has none. If my assumptions are correct, Sharutzin the boatman and Abu Bakr the merchant would narrow down the possibilities. Sharutzin being only attested until Rimsin 8, Abu Bakr being attested from Rimsin 8 onwards. This tablet must have then been written around Rimsin 8, give or take some years. And this date would also fit well with the dossier of bulk transport Tina Breckbold has published in AFO 42-43, the date from Rimsin 6 to Rimsin 13. Looking at or for tablets from that topical point of view, namely boats and water transport, helps to find groups of texts around people concerned with boats. I only want to name a few. For example, from Jacharum Schablum, the dossiers of Ubliatum and Ibatum. I've published those in the PPOAC 3. And then a small group of two texts mentioning the boatmen Belakum and Varad Marduk. Richardson published the text in GCSS 2 as number 3, where they are allocated garden plots in Amitza Duka 5. And another text from the British Museum shows them delivering onions and garlic a year later. So that's a nice fact of microhistory. The third I want to mention is a group around Ali Talimi. I think they are businessmen. They are 5 men renting boats in Zuperschubler from 2 different boat owners during the reign of Abi Eshuch. The boatman Ilshu Ibnishu, I have the text here. Ilshu Ibnishu, who acts as witness in both contracts, helped to corroborate the connection of YOS 1315, which was already placed by Rosel Pientka in Imgula 2 to Zuperschubler. And the other text, JCS 5, 95A, published by Götze, which Rosel had in her book, Imgula 2, but she couldn't affiliate it because it was too damaged. Yes, so much for prosopography. Let's turn towards the second part of my talk, clauses and phrases. Studying tablets from a topical point of view might have certain disadvantages, but it sharpens the outlook on phrases, vocabulary, and orthography of certain text or text groups. From the water-based view, the boat rental contracts are the only legal text group that comprises a considerable number of contracts to make a study feasible. Of special interest is the rental clause, but some extra clauses are also worth considering for regional peculiarities. The rental clause, you know, is the first and main clause. It never turns not up in a contract. It gives the rental object, the owner, the one who hires it out, who is mostly identical with the owner of the boat, but must not be, the renter, and the verb, of course, and most often it also gives a period, a reason, for which the boat was rented, or it gives a route which is to be taken. Leo Oppenheim had only 7 boat rental contracts at hand when he wrote Untersuchungen zum babylonischen Mietrecht, and Martin Stoll 27 when he wrote his entry Miete in Reallexikon. They gave a thorough and good description of these contracts from legal and formal point of views, even pointed out regional characteristics, but of course they had not enough text to thoroughly study them from a geographical point of view. We have to date 45 boat rental contracts, and based on their rental clause, they can be divided into a northern and a southern group. And this figure gives you an example for each one example for each of these groups. Team 5, 57 for the northern group from the Ibertum dossier from Jacobum Chaplum. And TCL 10, 74 of the southern group of from Lazo from the Balamonamche archive. I hope this is self-explaining. I've given you the rental clause and then sectioned the rental clause into phrases and put them into columns. And I have a large table of this, and those are just 2 snippets of this large table. Each of these contracts shows a phrase that affiliates it with the one group or the other, or excludes it from the one group or the other. I have marked them in orange and in green. With the phase starting A to B, the southern group specifies the rent per rental period placed after the description of the boat, the rental object. Martin Stoll remarked already in RLA that it is a feature of the contracts, but in fact it is found in Lhasa as well, and therefore a feature of the southern contracts. This phrase never occurs in boat rental contracts from the north in this form or this position. The other feature that stands out is in column 4, marked with the logogram key and the name of the hirer, so from the hirer the renter rented. Only contracts from the northern group state explicitly that the one who hires out the boat is also the owner of the boat. The texts that use this phrase also use, and you also use the Sumerian wording, namely lugal matu ke, or mamesh, or similar if you rent 2 boats, all come from Yachorum Shaplum. If I'm right, other texts so far not affiliated could also be assigned to this city. That is a larger part of this table and shows characteristics of cities from northern Babylonia. So if I'm right, other tablets could be assigned to Yachorum Shaplum that haven't been affiliated so far. One is YOS 12478. Here I have to add that already Franz von Koppen, in his catalog of dated and datable sources from the reign of Samsui Luna, affiliated it to Yachorum Shaplum, to the dossier of the Rai Banu Avilia, which is Chabin's archive L in BR 38, but he didn't assign that tablet. That second one would be YOS 12546. The third one, number 131 of Oberhuber Sumerische and Akkadische Keilschrift Denkmäler from the Archaeological Museum of Florence. And the fourth, unpublished contract from Yale. Yeah. Apart from those contracts, two rental contracts from Zuber Schubler use the Akkadian version of the noun with the noun Belum instead of Lugal. They are YOS 1315 and JCS 595. I had just mentioned prosopography, so that's the last two entries in this table. The contracts from Zipper that is interesting just state the hirer's name in this part of the clause without further designation. But they may, if they name the owner of the boat explicitly at all, that would be in the column marked owner, use the relative pronoun Sha instead of Ma, PN, which never occurs outside SIPA. Apart from the rental clause, there are other clauses typical for either the north or the south of Babylonia. I have listed them here. I think we have no time to go into details. This is, of course, a work in progress. New tablets, new contracts might change it, but so far, mention of 3 days for the boat is a feature of the north. Specifications for the liability of seizure of the boat is a specification of the north, and the clause for the transgression of rental period is a specification of Jacherum Schöplum. Okay. Okay, so we come to the last point of my talk, to autography. Namely the autography of Malach, the boatman, and in this case, also the Lach, how the Lach is written in Malach. This profession is mostly written in the Old Babylonian period with these logograms. Syllabary writings are of no account. I think there are 8 out of 125. Despite Borger's Zeichenliste, there rules no coherency in transliteration. We know of 4 variants. Writing Lach in all are based on the sign Du and its arrangements. I list them here according to the index number of Borger. Lach 4 to Lach 7. Lach 4 are 2 Du's written on top of each other, Lach 5, 1 Du after the other, Lach 6 only consists of a single Du, and Lach 7 is in fact the sign Kash 4, which is equated with Lasamo, to run, and it's a Du with, I like to call it legs, so with oblique wedges. The sign Lach is often indifferently transliterated Lach 5 or Lach 4, notwithstanding the arrangement of the signs, or at least the signs do are simply given in uppercase letters as written on the tablet. Both dictionaries in their entries Malachum were aware of at least the variants Lach 4 and Lach 5. Ahave gives Lach 4 as logogram, but says that du, as a du after du, is also attested. CADM transliterates Malach throughout the whole entry, giving the following explanation. The transliteration of Lach 4 has been used for both Du on top of Du and Du after Du. Until the end of the Old Babylonian period, only Du after Du is attested, and it is frequent in all periods. This, as we will see, is not correct. Both dictionaries with the entry Malachum, of course, were published before Borger's Zeichenliste. Labatin Manuel gives the reading Lach 4 for both what is since Borger Lach 4 and Lach 5. Now, while the present speaker took heed in her PhD thesis to follow exactly Borger's Zeichenliste in transcribing the profession and segregated Lach 5 from Lach 4 writings chronologically, she was not very much interested to look further into the matter of Old Babylonian variants. For this conference, she started to dig deeper, and the results of this digging is the following. Also here, it is an ongoing research. I just started last month, and I'm not through all attestations, but the picture is clear. Concerning the first and the second millennium, what was popularly transcribed as Lach 4 is only used in the first millennium. In the Neo-Syrian text, it's rarely used. They mostly prefer the older Lach 5, but it is exclusively used in New Babylonian texts. Lach 5 is used in the Old Babylonian texts, Middle Babylonian and New Assyrian texts, and nearly exclusively in the older periods. Concerning Lach 4 before the Old Babylonian period, research must still be done. What can be said is that Lach 4 is attested really seldom. For example, the EPSD gives 26 attestations for Lach 4 writings in the third millennium. I checked them all, and only one survived the scrutiny. Anyway, what is important for today is that it can be established that there's a geographical divide in the use of the variants in the Old Babylonian period. Lach 5 was the variant traditionally used in the northern part of Babylonia and Mari, while the variant Lach 6 was used in the south and in the Diyala region. Isin, that lies in the middle of Babylonia, seems to use both Lach 5 and Lach 6. Writings of Lach 7 are scarce, and they turn up mostly in the south in the Balamonamche archives, but also in the north and even in Mari. For this study, I had a text corpus of 89 Old Babylonian texts at my disposal, with about 125 attestations of Malach. This is not counting the Mari texts. Although the text, the case seems clear, there remain some texts that do not fit into this pattern. They need more research. With these results of a study of microphenomenons, as of Old Babylonian texts, I have come to an end of my talk. I hope you enjoyed it and thank you for your attention.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.